This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Boise City officials told residents they could recycle certain plastics for repurposing as diesel fuel as part of an energy bag program. Turns out, though, the plant in Salt Lake City that was supposed to process the plastic has been non-functioning since 2018. So what's been going on and what should we be doing with all those plastics? Joining us live in studio to explain more is Haley Faulkner and Colin Hickman with the City of Boise. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So the most surprising part of this news is that the facility Boise has been sending these energy bag plastics, and we should say those are those orange bags if people are wondering what we're talking about. It's been closed since 2018, as I mentioned, but why wait 2 years to let everybody know that it wasn't working anymore?
Yeah, we've had some interviews with other newspapers in between then. We've also updated our website because we think it's really important that folks know, as we've seen since all the changes with recycling, people are very in tune to what's happening with their recycling, where everything's going. And so we've tried to be as proactive as possible while also understanding that it's a brand new program. And so there's going to be some bumps along the road. So in the meantime, our team and also the folks that kind of manage the back end of the program have been working really hard to try to find out, you know, what's the best possible place for those plastics to go, and how do we come up with a kind of a plan B and a plan C, knowing that this is a new program.
And wasn't it that there was something that broke on that in the plant in Salt Lake, and it's a private company, so it's up to them to fix it or not.
That's exactly right. And I think part of it is the types of materials. I think inherently, two things about this program: we're taking a lot of what's called flexible plastics, which is packaging and other sort of plastic bags. And those are more difficult to manage. And I think the other piece is that we're adding, we have a bag now that people are putting lots of things into. And so contamination can also be an issue. So those two things have combined to be a challenge for programs of this type. But certainly, to your question, the responsibility is on the company to fix that.
So then where has all the plastic been going in the meantime?
So over the past, you know, year plus, we've been working real hard with our partners to find out what are those markets that have been able to open up domestically. Haley and I were just chatting a bit earlier, and one of the, I guess you could say, positives about kind of the recycling crisis that has hit the country and the world, frankly, has been that there have been more domestic markets popping up within the U.S., finding some innovative ways to reuse a lot of the plastics that we use. So some of the examples that we've tested out kind of on the back end have been, can we use Boise's plastics to create, say, park benches or pallet space? There's a lot of like creative ideas and creative businesses that are being started. So we really want to see what's a good match for the type of material that Boise's energy bags are generating. And then how can that program be set up in kind of a sustainable way where we can make sure that those materials are flowing and it's a process that we're comfortable with and that our residents are comfortable with.
And the Salt Lake-based company, Renewlogy,
yeah.
They turn those plastics into fuel. So what is that? What would that process look like?
The actual kind of mechanism of that process?
Yeah.
It's a lot like distillation, I guess. Okay. They're taking the plastics and sort of breaking them down to their elemental level and then turning those into what is a carbon-based fuel and diesel. So not getting all the way back around to a plastic, but getting to kind of a component of that.
So is there any word as to when or if that facility should be back up and running and taking plastics?
Yeah, I think it will not come as a surprise that coronavirus is definitely in the news everywhere.
Right.
And so the piece of machinery that the Renewlogy needs to get their process back up and running is still in China. And so, as you can imagine, there's some delays that come associated with that. But our best estimate from what we've been in discussions with our partners is late summer, early fall for them to be back up and running. So we're operating under that assumption.
And so would you then send everything down there once it's up and running, or are you going to continue to look at some other options?
I think right now, storing until we understand kind of what some of those options are and what the environmental impacts of those are. So storing here, they are storing some materials, and then we'll know more, I think, over the course of the next couple of months.
Have you guys been having conversations about, you mentioned like park benches and things like that, Colin, but what about cement production? Is this something that's been coming up in conversation?
It is, and certainly some of the materials have gone there. I think an important point on the program is we kind of own the piece in Boise, but we're part of a bigger program. Right. And so managing those markets is really up to the broader kind of Dow and Hefty. And once it becomes a material that is sent to be recycled or recovered, that's really in their court. And so part of these, you know, cement kilns, energy production and waste to energy is a piece of this. Yeah. But that's what we really want to understand right now is what are the environmental concerns and benefits associated with that. And then that becomes a policy decision for the city to make.
We're talking with the city of Boise's Haley Faulkner and Colin Hickman about the changes to Boise's energy bag program while the processing facility in Salt Lake City is down. Okay, so should Boise residents still be using the energy bags right now, or what should we be doing with, you know, separating those plastics into those orange bags?
Yeah, I mean, a ton of credit goes to Boise residents for diving in and sorting the plastics. We've seen contamination not only in the energy bags, but in our blue cart recycling continue to go down, and that's a real testament to our residents. So we would encourage residents, if they're already participating, continue to do so. We'll have more discussions, more information coming out as we get back more information. We want to make sure that we share that with the public. But I think what is super important for residents to start to think about is how do we start to shift the conversation away from always just looking at recycling, always looking at how we recover these materials, and how do we start to think differently about not producing, not creating these materials in the first place. And that's where really the city of Boise is starting to pivot and mm-hmm. starting to put a lot more of our time, resources, and energy on how do we start to do more with less, and how do we start to like really produce less material that then has to be managed in the long haul. Because from our standpoint, that's a way more sustainable solution than always having to be reactive to everything that we're receiving.
And that the environmental impact in a lot of ways has already occurred, the environmental and economic impact, by the time we have a thing that needs to be recycled or recovered. Mm. And so not using it, not producing it is really where we start to see that broader benefit.
What has this been like for your office? I mean, because you are so focused on sustainability work.
It's been a challenge. I mean, frankly, we've had staff working incredibly hard, you know, days, evenings, just trying to figure out what's the best environmental return on investment for a lot of these materials. And it's been really difficult because it's, you know, the city of Boise has limited control in a lot of this. There's larger forces at play. There's global markets, there's businesses, there's operations, there's machinery. And so we're trying our best to make sure that when Boiseans, you know, step up and do recycling, that those materials go to have an outcome that is a positive outcome, not only for Boise residents, but for the environment. But I think also it has, as I was just mentioning, it has really reinforced to city staff and our partners that we cannot keep being reactionary, because there will be more market shifts down the road. I remember earlier on when the plastic situation, the crisis happened, there was also discussion about paper recycling. And so we're not sure where the markets, we don't control those markets. And so it's incredibly important to us that we start to shift that community conversation more towards reduce and reuse, because we think that's the best way that our community will not have to deal with these type of market disruptions to begin with.
And I think there's still pride in our office within City Hall that we were able as a city and a community to take this global crisis and turn it around quickly and start a program that we could recover these materials, and that there still is a gap to be bridged from where we are today to getting to a full reduce and reuse. And this is a solution to that. This is a way for us to divert materials from the landfill and beneficially recover them. But that's not the long game. The long game is how do we have less products to manage and be recycled in the future.
So at this point, if I'm understanding you, the city of Boise is still storing these orange bags and will continue to do so.
That's right. Yeah, they're being stored right now. Two things are really happening. We're anticipating that Renewlogy will open up late summer, early fall, but we're also with our partners conducting what's called a life cycle analysis to really compare several different options. So you had mentioned cement production, Gemma, but also looking at pyrolysis, which mm-hmm. is the process that Haley mentioned, which is what Renewlogy utilizes. So we really want to understand from kind of an environmental, from a carbon footprint, from an air quality standpoint, how all these options kind of stack and rack together so that we can really have an informed discussion with our policymakers, with mayor and council on mm-hmm. kind of what the next steps will look like.
And do you think some of this too is that, as you mentioned, I mean, this is an incredibly new program, almost a pilot program in a sense, right? And a lot of cities are not doing this. I mean, Boise's kind of on the cutting edge of that. But with that, I mean, are you going to run into these stumbles and these roadblocks because it's not a tried and true program?
I think that's absolutely right. And I think we knew that going in, and we developed a pilot essentially on a citywide scale. And so even doing that with anything comes with some of these trials. I think one of the most impressive things is that we were a part of one of the first companies that was out there doing plastics recovery. And now we're seeing, you know, dozens that are out there, but they're all in that startup. And anytime there's a program startup or a business startup, there are certainly roadblocks or things to be uncovered along the way. And we're in the middle of that. We're a part of that. We didn't wait for it to be a fully baked solution. We're trying to be a part of that development along the way.
Yeah, and I think I'd add that the city of Boise was the first city in the country to roll this out citywide. And not only that, in a short span of time, Haley talked about it, but the alternative to this, to some bumps in the road in a brand new program, was landfilling a lot of plastic. And at that juncture, that was just not an option that we wanted to consider.
Well, and talk about that really quickly, because, that is one of the things maybe I think some people may not realize, is that if you don't separate that and you are recycling, but you put something in your blue bin that should be in an orange bag, is my understanding correct that that goes to the landfill?
That's correct. So it's, when we get things in the blue bin that don't belong, like plastic bags being number one, two, and three of that topic, that makes that set of recycling trash. And we don't have the equipment here to really, sort that. But even if we sorted really well and we were at a really low percent of contamination, anytime we get that contamination, that load becomes trash that's then been managed several times, so it becomes several times more expensive to do that.
Yeah, and what we see, we like to call it wishful recycling, because we've all been there standing at the blue cart with something that you just really want and wish it were recyclable, and so you toss it in there. But what we've been reminding residents is, when in doubt, throw it out, because all that stuff that ends up in the wrong cart has to be sorted and ends up being landfilled and is just not a good solution for anybody. So as hard and as painful as that may sound.
Oh, look, I stood right over my blue bin at my house and done
there.
That, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and it's making those baby step changes, right? I mean, so ultimately, yes, bumps in the road, but it goes down to what you're hoping for, which is that reuse and recycle.
Absolutely. And I think we want individuals to feel empowered that those single changes, bringing your reusable bag, changing your straws, bringing your coffee mug, that those things do matter and they add up. And that also as a city, we're working on some of the bigger transformative changes, the programmatic changes. And together, the individual change and the transformative change will hopefully be what has the impact here in our community.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about this. We've been talking with Haley Faulkner and Colin Hickman with the City of Boise. Up next, a documentary highlighting a women's basketball coach in the Mountain West. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.